With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the Senior Director of Charts at Billboard. And joining me, as always, is Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital, Katie Atkinson. Hello.
Hi, Keith.
How are you?
Great, and you?
I am wonderful, because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
Today on the show, we've got news about Drake, ABBA, Ariana Grande, and... One Direction.
One Direction? You don't say. Well, speaking of One Direction, we've got an interview with Niall Horan. Niall called in from the road on his Flickr World Tour to talk about the tour, his new song Finally Free from the movie Smallfoot, the 8th anniversary of One Direction, and more. So, stick around for that in just a little bit.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
So, let's get started with some Drake.
So much Drake.
So much Drake. I feel like this is the Drake cast.
Hmm.
It's like every week there's just some new thing to say about Drake. That's what happens when you're the most popular artist in America.
Hmm.
Well, he holds on to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart for a third week with Scorpion, which earned 260,000 equivalent album units in the week ending July 19th, according to Nielsen Music. Funny, that number would be a huge number for any
other
album.
An opening week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For this year, for anyone else, that would be enormous. For him, that's his third week.
Mm-hmm.
Further, over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, the album's track In My Feelings racks up a second week atop the list, thanks largely to the popularity of its viral dance challenge meme. The track racked up a record 116.2 million U.S. streams during the tracking week. It beats the streaming record previously held by another gone viral hit, Bauer's Harlem Shake, which of course had its own viral dance challenge meme thing. And it logged, the previous streaming record was 103.1 million streams back at the height of Harlem Shake's popularity in 2013. So it took 5 years for the record to be beaten.
That's wild.
And it's been beaten because of this viral dance challenge thingy.
I have to say one thing about this. You actually have to be able to dance to do this.
Yeah, I don't think I could pull this off.
Like, this is... Like, Harlem Shake was, like, hilarious videos that literally anybody could do.
Oh, yeah, there wasn't
You
real
didn't need to have skills
no.
to do them.
Barely in a
Video
rhythm.
Editing skills, maybe? That's about it.
Yeah.
But, yes, I have to say, and the man behind the dance moves is named Shiggy. He's a social media comedian.
Not Shaggy.
Shiggy. He started the In My Feelings challenge, I think it was the day Scorpion came out. That Friday, he literally posted a video where he made up this short little dance that goes along to the lyrics of In My Feelings, and he called it hashtag do the Shiggy.
Sure.
Although now I feel like it's more widely known as hashtag In My Feelings Challenge. Mm-hmm. And a lot of celebrities have posted about it. And we actually got to talk to Shiggy for the magazine, this latest issue that has Kid Cudi on the cover. And if you go over to billboard.com right now, you can see a little bit from this interview. He actually, we had him pick his favorite of the celebrity videos.
Oh.
And have you seen the Will Smith one?
The Will Smith one is pretty nuts.
I mean, it's like a Will Smith production. Like, it's like a full, like, movie, mini movie.
He's on top of a bridge in, like, Budapest or something?
Yeah, and he, yes, and that, not surprisingly, is one of Shiggy's favorites. The quote he had from our interview, he said, "I was in shock. When I watched the video, I was like, hold on, what is he doing? I liked the fact that he made it a production. He made it a big thing. He had the drone, he had the selfie camera, and somebody shooting it. He put a lot into it. It was exciting." Totally agree with Shiggy. And mm-hmm. his two other celebrity favorites were Ciara's video with a husband, Russell Wilson, as well. And Diplo's video, which has a hilarious cameo from Lil Jon.
I haven't seen the Diplo one.
I hadn't either until Shiggy picked it as one of his favorites and watched it in that article.
Does Diplo dance in it?
Sort of, yeah. And he's got these other like backup dancers doing the dance as well. And then Lil Jon just like jumps in at the end for a perfect Lil Jon kind of, you know, yelling cameo as he does.
Well, in other chart news, also on the Hot 100, Ariana Grande's God is a Woman debuts at number 11, giving the pop star her 28th Hot 100 hit and her 13th top 40 single. Right above Ariana, by God, it's Drake's God's Plan at number 10.
Such a godly Hot 100.
It's a godly chart.
Yes.
It works in mysterious ways. Over on the Billboard 200, that's all I got. That's all I want.
That's all the God you've got.
There was nothing else to say. I just wanted to mention God twice. Over on the Billboard 200 chart, the soundtrack to Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again debuts at number 20. All Things ABBA got a bump this week as promotion of the new film ramped up. The movie opened in theaters on July 20th, the day after our sales and streaming tracking week ended. So that means we could see increased gains next week for ABBA and the Mamma Mia soundtrack. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, the original Mamma Mia soundtrack re-enters the Billboard 200 at number 89, while ABBA's Gold Greatest Hits album jumps from number 141 to number 86. Overall, ABBA scored a 41% gain in album sales in the week ending July 19th, rising to 8,000 sold, while the group's on-demand streams rose 20% to 7.6 million.
And who knew 2018 was going to be the year of ABBA?
Who knew that 2008 was going to be the year of ABBA 10 years ago? It is weird how, and someone said this more eloquently than me, but it was in association with the promotion of Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, how there's like three different stages of people or of ABBA, where it was like the initial like love of ABBA in the 70s, and then there's like some backlash to ABBA where they were like a little bit too kitschy, and then there was like the renaissance of ABBA, which basically is from ABBA Gold and Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah, I was going to say you can go back to Muriel's Wedding.
And then that it just sort of...
That's quite the movie, by the way. I hadn't seen that. I watched it like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what, 25 years
theater.
Too late?
Okay. So mine is a 20-second version. I actually kind of just went to the movie initially in theaters because I knew that before the movie started, they were going to show Madonna's music video for Bedtime Story.
That's incredible.
So like Madonna's Bedtime Story video.
So what year was that? Do you know?
1995.
Yeah. Okay. So
and,
I was.
And then I stayed for Muriel's Wedding.
That's so funny.
But you just said you just saw it recently?
Yes. Wow. And I don't know. I think I just noticed that it was on some streaming service I have when I was binge watching a lot of movies. And just wow is what I have to say. There was just a lot of twists and turns I did not expect in that movie.
Yeah, it's not. You think of it, it's like, oh, it's a wedding, it's fun. It's like, ooh,
no, it's dark, and dark. It's also, I mean, like the ABBA aspect of it is very limited. Like I was
it's
expecting way more.
It.
Exactly,
you were expecting Mamma Mia.
Oh, exactly,
Mamma Mia, the wedding with Muriel. Not so much, but yeah, it's like the ABBA's. Like ever since Muriel's Wedding and ABBA Gold, it's like snowballed, and then we had Mamma Mia the musical, and then the movie based on the stage musical, and then 10 years later, ABBA is still going strong. And now at the end of this year, we're going to get two new ABBA songs, their first new material in like 35 years.
Bonkers.
Or something. So Go ABBA.
Go ABBA.
Anyway.
Another band that,
makes,
you know,
great pop music.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Sure.
Well, we're celebrating over on Billboard.com because of 8 years of One Direction.
Sure.
Perfectly timed with this week's guest interview. Monday marked the 8th anniversary of One Direction.
July 23rd.
8 years ago Monday, July 23rd, 2010, five solo contestants from season 7 of the UK's X Factor, Niall Horan, Harry Styles, Zayn Malik, Louis Tomlinson, and Liam Payne, were put together by Simon Cowell to form the boy band One Direction.
Had it not been for Simon.
He looks pretty brilliant right about now. I mean, he has lots of things that he can, you know, crow about, but this is especially, you know, crazy that he put these five dudes together.
He's eating a salad made out of cash right
now. Yeah, exactly. At the time of their formation, Niall, Liam, and Harry were just 16 years old, while Zayn was 17 and Louis was 18. Babies. Huh. They were all babies.
Literal.
Three of the guys, Niall, Liam, and Louis, took to Twitter on Monday to celebrate the anniversary. Let's see what they had to say. So Niall tweeted, "Wow, 8 years of amazing memories with the lads. Thank you so much for standing by us for all this time."
Aww.
Liam said, "What an incredible 8 years it's been with my brothers. Thank you to all the fans that are still supporting and following our journeys. Love, LP." And Louis tweeted, "Where is the time gone? Thank you so much to every single person who's ever supported us. Big love. And remember, if it's by One Direction and it's a banger, I probably wrote on it."
Okay, Louis. I like the way you injected a dash of humor there.
Unfortunately, we haven't heard anything from Harry just yet, who is the last remaining member of One Direction. But back on July 16th, which is when his solo tour wrapped up, he seemed to be kind of taking a step back from social media, tweeting, "Thank you to my band, the crew, and all of you for making this tour so wonderful. Treat people with kindness. Goodbye for now."
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, okay, he's clearly taking a break from social
media.
Yeah,
like, he made it clear he's going to miss these things. If you've got something you'd like him to tweet about, he's going to miss it for a little bit.
You may have to email him or just phone him.
And, of course, Zayn has not tweeted either. He was an original member, but he left before the group went on indefinite hiatus. And he really doesn't tweet about these things anymore, so...
Yeah, I mean, is he really much of a social media person in general?
He is, but, like, he's currently got some new music that he's promoting.
He's working on that.
Yeah. And we were able to ask Niall about the anniversary since we spoke with him on the actual day, Monday.
Total coinkydink.
Yes, it just all came together beautifully like that. We also got stuck in a little question about the future of the group even, so I'd say it's time to get into our chat with Niall Horan.
Absolutely. Niall called us up from the road, Nashville. You'll hear him say the word Nashville in just a moment, where he's currently on his Flickr World Tour until September. We talked about why he says this is the most fun tour that he's been a part of, why we won't be getting any club bangers from him in the future.
Louis's there for the club bangers.
Maybe he should call
Louis
and, like, they can work on a club banger together. We talked about Niall's new song, Finally Free, from Smallfoot. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the 8th anniversary of One Direction. So, here's our chat with Niall Horan. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. Niall Horan, how are you doing, sir?
I'm great, thanks. I'm here in Nashville.
Oh, you said it perfectly.
You said it with just the right kind of twang.
Nashville.
Yes, you're on tour right now, and you're in Nashville. The Flickr World Tour actually started back in March, but you just reached the U.S. a week or so ago, and then you continue on through September. So, you know, before this tour, you had a string of dates last fall. How do you think that you've kind of grown as a musician and a performer over this past year of all these concerts?
Oh, yeah, loads. The show has evolved. We all play a lot tighter together as a band. Yeah, I think that happens with time. The longer you spend on the road, the better you get, and this will stand me in good stead for when I go to record the next time, because, you know, you're singing every night, you're nursing the vocal cords, and yeah, it should make for a good vocal on the next album.
And actually, you're out on tour with Maren Morris, and you mentioned that you're in Nashville now. Do you think she'll have a chance to, like, show you around a little bit around Music City?
Oh, yeah. I've spent quite a lot of time in Nashville, so I feel like I know it, but it's great that Maren's on the road with us, and, you know, we've got, we became really good friends, and, you know, her and her husband and her band and all her friends, you know, we all hang out while we're here, and yeah, it's good to have a bit of local knowledge, too, so we'll have a good time while we're here.
Do you get much time, actually, like downtime on the road, like to do like fun things, or are you always kind of like on a tour bus in, you know, sound check on the stage and then you sleep, or do you actually have time to do fun stuff?
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of touring over the years, so I've kind of learned how to schedule a tour without tiring everyone out too much. So I kind of scheduled this one so we could have, you know, do a couple of shows, have a day off, you know, do a show, then have another day off, and we kind of do 3-4 shows a week. So it's been really fun, just kind of, like, I like to play a bit of golf, so I've got time for that, and, you know, the Americans in the crew all have, you know, great ideas for activities and days off and stuff like that, so it's been a really good laugh.
Okay, so the Americans that you speak of, what is their idea of fun? Because that almost sounded like there's got to be a story there.
I don't know. I feel like they've, you know, toured, especially like Marin's band, you know, they spend the country folk spend a lot of time on the road around the States. So they kind of know each town that we go to and stuff like that. So if we have time or we have a day off, we'll kind of look ahead to see what's coming up, what cities are coming up and what we can do there. We've been really enjoying it, and this is definitely the most fun tour that I've been part of, because I can actually get out and see cities that I'm in for a change.
Yeah, it was a little bit different in the One Direction days, slightly more chaotic. Yes. You started your Flickr album campaign a little under a year ago, I guess it was like last September, with the ballad This Town, and then you turned up the tempo a bit with Slow Hands, and I love that track. Mm-hmm. And then you slowed it back down with Too Much to Ask, and then it got more up tempo with On the Loose. So basically what I'm leading up to, Niall, is are we going to get like a club banger next? That's where I want to see you go.
No, there won't be club bangers, I'm afraid.
No, why not? I'm gonna stay
in my lane.
That can be your lane. You can share multiple lanes.
I don't mind. Yeah, I kind of base the album making on, you know, stuff that I grew up on and what I know about music. And to tell you the truth, I know zero about like dance music or club bangers, as you call it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure I know you love Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles and you know, a lot of those kinds of acts. They had, you know, some dance.
They didn't have
jams.
Club bangers.
Yeah, I guess maybe not. I wouldn't. It, not like no. Full on like club banger. But you know, you can dance to Fleetwood Mac.
No
ish. No.
Oh yeah, you can. Yeah. That's where I've got. That's why I had Slow Hands and On the Loose. They're my version of a banger.
Well, we look forward to the dance remixes then those tracks.
And, you know, we were reading that you had intended on writing and recording your second album while on the road this year. So what's your progress been like so far?
Yeah, not very good. I find some people are, like, really good at that, where they can just, on any downtime they have, just sit down and write multiple songs. And I found that I just can't. Like, there's so much going on. And if you actually want to tour and see the city that you're in, you know, you got no time for that. And then on show day, there's a, you know, strict schedule that we try and stick to. And I'm just really struggling to kind of get into that mindset, because if you're not going to put 100% into it, there's no point doing it. So I found, like, when I went home after we toured Europe, I found that I wrote 2 or 3 songs in a couple of days, just sitting at the piano, like I did on the last album, where I was just sitting at home, guitar in hand, sitting at a piano or whatever. It just kind of at my most chilled, if you know what I mean. So it's not going very well on the road, but I will be, you know, kind of disappearing after the tour and taking a couple of months off and then going for it properly and just writing until I can't write anymore.
Well, and you said you're actually like getting some downtime, and then you can live some life and have some material to write about when you get the chance to sit down.
Exactly, that's what it's all about. You can't have nothing to write about unless you've lived it.
I was actually kind of wondering, because when you did the cover story for Billboard like a year ago, there was a quote in there where you talked about, and I'm going to terribly misquote you, but you said something along the lines of you had a whole bunch of songs, but most of them were shite. And then you whittled it down to the album's worth of songs, and and you eventually found the group of songs that you were really happy with. Is it difficult for you to say, okay, this is the song I know I want to have on the album? Like, is it hard for you to kind of like decide, well, what's my favorite out of all these tracks?
You kind of get an idea as you're going. Like, if you've written 10 songs that week and two of them stand out, you'll kind of stick them two to the side. And maybe, you know, and then I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's kind of a feel thing. As you're going, you have a fair idea of what's going on. It's just, it usually comes to, you know, like, for instance, in 2 days I wrote Slow Hands, On the Loose, and a song on the album called Fire Away.
Wow.
And they stood out that week, obviously, and then I was like, right, put them to the side. And you kind of keep going like that. It's kind of a process of elimination type thing. But yeah, there's obviously then when you come to the end of it and you know, you want to make sure that you got everything you want on it and stuff like that, you kind of revisit a couple and maybe keep, like, for instance, I thought the album was finished before Christmas, and then I still had some writing sessions in the diary for January and February, and probably wrote another third of what's on the album right now. So you kind of, I'm one of those people that never really knows when I'm finished as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah, play by ear type thing.
Well, speaking of writing music, you have a new single called Finally Free, which you co-wrote and is from the film Smallfoot, which opens in theaters on September 28th. Why did you want to be a part of this movie and have your music in it?
Yeah, it was actually really cool and organic how it happened. Yeah, the movie people got in touch. Two brothers are directing the whole movie, you know, from animation to who was in it and blah, blah, blah. And then they got in touch and kind of said, you know, we kind of like the lane you're in, and music-wise, and would I be up for kind of writing some songs for the soundtrack? And then I was on tour, and again, you know, as I said, I struggled to kind of put one. It's like if a big movie company come to you and say, can you write some songs for a soundtrack? You want to nearly be on time off to kind of just put 100% of yourself into that. But I, after I had a couple of weeks off and was back in LA, and after I kind of told him that I couldn't write a load of songs, it turned out that a good friend of mine, Julian Benetta, and John Ryan, they were kind of, who I'd written a lot of the 1D stuff with and I wrote Slow Hands with, and they're good friends of mine. They had been given the executive producer for the executive producer job for the movie, for the music. Yeah, I know, it was great. It was brilliant. And then, so I went around to their place one day, and we were just hanging out with their studio, and then we just ended up kind of, you know, you're for a project like that, you're kind of nearly given like a brief, you know, you get to watch scenes of the movie, and then you kind of go off and kind of write, you know, like a concept album type thing, I think is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. So we sat down and we wrote that, and they had written the chorus. And then I'd kind of come in and put my touch on it. But so it was kind of really organic, and it turned out all right. I would have loved to have done a few more tunes, because that kind of thing is right up my street. That kind of folky, up tempo.
Some might say, you know, jingly, fun. Niall.
Yeah, jingly. There you go.
Jingly, jingly. I don't know. You were saying that they asked you to write some songs, plural. Did you end up writing more than one, or is this the only one?
Yeah, that was the only one I got around to doing. I was off from tour, and I was just in LA and was just hanging out. So that was the only one I got around to. Sadly,
do you know
to have done more?
Do you know where the song is going to be in the movie at all?
I'm not quite sure. Hopefully, something good. Not quite sure about that.
I wasn't sure if it was a secret.
You know, there's the movie people are making a big deal out of it, and that makes me feel good about our songwriting.
We have a feeling that you'll probably have the opportunity to write more for films and whatnot down the road too. So this won't be your last one.
I wanted to ask a question. You know, we talked about how you're touring, and you've basically been on the road, it seems like, well, effectively since last August. I mean, because you had the Flickr sessions. Mm-hmm. And then you took sort of the holidays off, but you were promoting the album, and then you sort of started this tour properly, the Flickr tour, in March. I know you have a home in LA, but have you really had any time to be at home in the past, like, 6 months?
Yeah, I like to do things in blocks. So we did start the album promo in September. Album came out at the end of October. Kind of promoted right up till Christmas. Then stopped for 2 months. So that's the album promo in my head out of the way. And then, and then totally stop, chill, and then restart, put a tour together, and then head out in the road. So the tour ends up being from March until the end of September. So that's like 6 months, I think. 6 or 7 months. And then stop. And then that'll be me then for... I'll kind of take some time off and chill out, and then go, as I said, go writing again and start it all again. But I don't want to... And I've said to everyone, and I've sat with the label and my management and blah, 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 and I kind of want to do it like I did the last time, where I took as long as I could to make sure it's right and make sure that I don't come back, like, spend a year away and then come back with a lot of crap. I'd rather wait until them big songs come. And if, you know, time is of the essence, so I want to use it.
Is there any chance, and I know we're coming up on when we are supposed to let you go, but is there any chance of maybe extending the tour past September, or is that going to be the hard end of the run?
Yeah, that's kind of it. Like, you know, I've done the UK, I've done Ireland, I've done Europe, most of mainland Europe. Then we went down to Australia and New Zealand, and then
all you need is Africa and Antarctica.
Southeast Asia. Yeah, honestly, nearly hit every continent. And then, yeah, kind of we did South America for the last few weeks, and then into Mexico, and then, yeah, kind of North America now, you know, America/Canada for the next kind of, I think it's like 2 months today we finish. So we're having a really good time. I have to say, it's been definitely the most enjoyable tour I've been on. I got out and seen places that I've never seen before, but been in 1,000 times. I've played to, like, especially these American shows now, I'm playing outdoors nearly every night. And I think my music kind of lends its hand to these kind of amphitheater type venues that I'm playing to. And you know, you learn so much about yourself every night, and the band, and the crowds are completely different every night. And yeah, it's kind of hasn't become monotonous in any way, shape, or form. So I'm really, really enjoying it, I have to say.
And one final question before we let you go. We're actually talking to you on July 23rd, which is, as we know from your Twitter, the 8th anniversary of when One Direction formed. You know, you got,
indeed,
and the
yeah.
guys all celebrated online. On a day like this, does it kind of make you reflect on where you've come from with 1D, or does it make you think about where you guys are all at now and what could ever happen with the group in the future?
Yeah, I guess it's a mix of both. You know, it all kind of came about real quick, and before we knew it, we'd be a number one album in America, and we were selling out arenas, and we were, you know, globally successful, if you like. And we had a great time, you know, while we were doing it. And this is kind of like a little chapter in the middle where, you know, we're doing our own thing again, being successful at it. I'd like to think, and selling tours and. You know, being out on the road and making tunes that we all want to make. And yeah, it's kind of a bit of both. And then, yeah, we'll kind of see what happens in the future, I suppose. But yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 8 years. Like, I get people coming up to me and, like, meet and greets. Like, today I was in Urban Outfitters and a girl said, I've been a fan since I was 12. And she was like 20. And I was like, that even makes me feel old, and I'm only 24. So it's just like, oh my god, it's a bit of a shock to the system when you hear stuff like that. But it's been amazing, like, to be part of people's lives, basically. You know, a lot of people you read online, you're like, oh, One Direction was basically a part of my teenage years, and, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. And that's, I think that's, like, quite a cool thing to be able to have in your resume.
I just did the math, and I totally forgot that you were 16 when One Direction started. I'm like, wait, is that possible? Is that real? My gosh.
Yeah, the
crazy,
fans grew up with you.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And hope they keep doing that.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I don't think they're going anywhere. It's been so great chatting with you, Niall. Best of luck to you on the tour, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'll hopefully see you soon.
Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Niall.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye. Everybody's watching.
thanks again to Niall for taking the time to chat.
He's so great.
Oh my God. He was just super friendly, super fun, and so kind to offer up a little, you know, a little 1D love for the fans.
You know, I mean, it's yeah, I mean, I think he's just very much like, yeah, if something happened, if all the boys want to get back together again and do something, he's like, I'm in.
Yeah, for sure.
Very much.
Yep.
But we don't know. Maybe it'll happen.
And in the meantime, we get his new single, Finally Free, from Smallfoot, and a tour.
And a tour. it is really, I mean, and I guess I could have said this in the interview, but I wasn't sure how to fit it in
now.
There. Say it now when we're not talking to him. But I just think I mean, what they've done is very similar to what the Spice Girls did, where all of them went on to have really a large amount of individual success, which that is not always the case for a pop group. Because, like, NSYNC, we have Justin, clearly, and everyone else has done their own things, but Justin...
There always only seemed room for one success story for a lot of groups. You know,
yeah, and there's no rhyme or reason necessarily, but I think there was probably some brilliance in how when One Direction worked together, they made sure that everyone got to have all of their... They all shined.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like there was just one
there
person.
There was no front man.
No. And, you know... Yeah, I just think
it's
great
what's
happened. I
would say that they'll probably not, no shade, because I love the Spice Girls. They'll, if they haven't already, will surpass that, like, individual success, even. Like, they just all feel, like, on a track for impressive careers, and they already
Yeah, but which one of them will have their own fashion line, like Victoria?
Ooh, who's going to be the posh?
Mm. I don't know.
I nominate Louis. He dresses really nice.
Yeah. And I think Niall has also claimed he's like, you know, he barely like knew anything about clothing until people were just like here, like saying, here, wear this.
He wears great glasses. Always has great eyewear.
Niall?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has an eyewear collection.
We'll see.
I don't know. Niall can call us back.
We forgot to ask him.
We can do an interview just about your alleged doesn't exist eyewear collection. I don't know. Anyway. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Ah, the sweet sounds of Air Supply. This week in 1981, the pop duo hit number one on the Hot 100 with the song you just heard, The One That You Love. I don't know what voice this is.
This is your AC radio voice.
It was the act's only chart topper, and it led the list for just 1 week on the tally dated July 25th, 1981.
You were doing better like with your Quiet Storm voice a second ago.
Fun fact. Air Supply charted 13 hits on the Hot 100, and 6 of them featured the word love in their title.
Thank you for not making this a quiz, Katie.
Oh, yeah. So here are the 6 of the 13 Hot 100 hits that Air Supply had with love in their title. Katie, would you like to start with the first one?
Lost in Love, mm-hmm. which went to number 3 in 1980.
Then we had All Out of Love.
That's the one I could have guessed.
I'm all out of love.
Yeah.
I'm so lost without you. It went to number 2 in 1980.
And then we have The One That You Love.
Right. Then we had Young Love, which went number 38 in 1982.
Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
Making Love Out of Nothing
Another number 2 hit, 1983.
And then The Power of Love, which went to number 68 in 1985 for Air Supply. And yes, this is the song that Celine Dion covered and would later take to number 1 in 1994.
It's a jam.
So there you have it this week, a duo full of lots of love, full of lots of love. Air Supply hit number 1 on the Hot 100 with The One That You Love. Understand the one that you love, loves you in so
many ways. Tell you what, my friend who's like my age loves Air Supply. It's like she would name them as her favorite group. Has seen them live.
Wow.
Lots of times. I don't know how this happened. And I mean, I love the Eagles, so I guess I can't really talk. Like,
but you're younger than me. So therefore, like, I would have a closer connection to Air Supply, but still, even then, like, I was really small.
This is like a 37-year-old woman. She's a year older than me. Yeah.
So she would have been like 1 when Air Supply
was
popular.
Yeah, so it must have been like her parents must have been jamming to some sweet, sweet adult contemporary when she was growing up. Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with some Air Supply.
Or I guess
hits.
It wasn't contemporary then.
They would have been on pop radio at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also big on AC radio. But anyway, we digress. So what song should we go on
It feels like, I'm just going to go ahead and save you there. Even though we heard a little bit of One Direction earlier, it feels like our 8 years of 1D show may be a little...
Do you end with their first big hit, What Makes You Beautiful?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, great. See you guys next time.
Bye. That's what makes you beautiful.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.